be opening our Fluvanna County work session. First order of business is a call to order and the pledge of allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Please remain standing for a moment of silence. Thank you. Next item on is our planning director comments.
Mr. Chairman, I don't have any comments at this time.
Okay. Next will be our public comment section. Anyone in the public wishing to come forward and speak to any item, please come forward. You will be limited to 3 minutes. And no one coming forward, we will start our discussion of the capital improvement plan for years 2018 through 2022.
Mr. Chairman, as you're aware, we annually ask the Planning Commission to take a look at the staff's capital improvement plan proposal and make a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors. The plan is similar to last year. We have our department heads here to answer any questions and discuss their projects and how they have them ranked. Next meeting, or November meeting, we will rank the projects. The Planning Commission will rank the projects or have any additional questions answered from staff. And then we plan to have the public hearing in December, very similar to last year's process.
Thank you. What department is going to come forward and talk about the project first? Or are we going to just go down the list?
You can go down the list. It looks like Parks and Recreation.
Parks and Recreation is first.
Oh, we can have the schools go first, but you probably have to get to another meeting.
Okay, that's fine.
Good evening. Do you want me to go through line by line, or do you have particular questions about items? I'm sorry, we changed the format over the last couple of years. Just to introduce myself, I'm Chuck Winkler, I'm the Assistant Superintendent. I believe I met a few of you. Good evening.
You can do it any way you like, and we can follow along.
Okay. First on item 47, Abrams Building Renovation, that's been on the agenda for the last at least 3 years, looking at a total renovation of the Abrams Building. There's some asbestos issues in there, it needs HVAC work, a number of other upgrades, plumbing upgrades. Right now we have a projected hopes of trying to do some things in 2020.
Okay, we're showing some things in 2018 and then some things in 2019.
Maybe how it's divided out, sir.
We're short like $300,000 operating cash to be used in Abraham Building Reservation in 2018 and $2,780,000 in 2019.
Yeah, the $300,000 would assist us with some asbestos removal and some other immediate needs within the building. There's a floor in the back, I guess at the southwestern corner, one of the rooms that's basically been quarantined off is collapsing.
Okay.
Of the other, which is a substantial amount, $2.8 million, is to do the remaining of the renovation within the building. I would make note that's a figure that we actually got several years ago, 5 years ago, Crabtree and Rural Hall, we did our facility study.
Okay.
I would guess that figure would be still close. The next item on the list is the Central Elementary HVAC upgrade and renovations. This act item is actually included. I don't know how much you know. Should I speak or address the energy audit?
Yeah, I'll just give you one quick update. So on your CIP sheet, there's a column where it has either full or partial next to it, next to some of these projects. The county right now is working on an energy performance contracting with training, and there's various buildings that are included within this project, and the project scope kind of deals with lighting upgrades to LED, some building envelope for energy saving cost measures, and then upgrading HVAC and HVAC controls. So some of these items that are on the CIP are actually included within the trained energy performance contracting contract right now. So if the board decides, well, right now where we are, the board did want the county staff to move forward looking at some of these. It's been kind of an ongoing process. So some of these may actually come off the CIP if we move ahead with these prior to the budget season. And like I said, if it's marked full next to it, obviously the full project would come off the CIP sheet. And then where we have partial, there's this little partial, a small amount of this project that may pertain to the training project. So that's kind of just a brief overview of it. Now I'll let Mr. Woodward keep on explaining the projects.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. Do you have questions regarding the central HVAC upgrade? Right now we're looking at moving towards the central plant. The existing boilers in Central Elementary are approaching 30 years old, with many more of the rooftop units well over their life expectancy, approaching 20 years old. That's not if, it's basically when. And obviously we're hoping to save some money and roll this into the energy audit that we're working in conjunction with the county. The next, computer instructional technology and infrastructure replacement. This continues to be a need. I know it's been, I won't use the term contention, but certainly a source of discussion every year. I go to my board and tell them exactly the direction that you give to me, and they give me, and I work for my board, so, and my superintendent, and they ask me to put it back on. So if we have done that, we will continue to do that. We're hoping that you will find a funding wedge for that item.
Okay. You know, as you know, my concern is for that is the fact that last year I talked about it being instructional in nature.
Yes, sir.
And you kind of put me down to the fact that it really wasn't that. But yet I noticed in this year's thing, it's the wording is instructional.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And also the fact that in the conference plan about the CIP, it says that this should not be something that continuously the same yearly.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, that's, I don't want to go any further into the discussion.
My apologies. Over the last couple of years, my intentions would never be to put you down or insult you, sir. That is not the case.
Well, I didn't mean it in that
okay.
respect.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
I meant it was kind of said it wasn't really instructional.
Redirected. And you'll notice we did cut it in half, and there's a reason for that. The Board of Supervisors was very kind with some of the reappropriations, and they boosted our budget with the reappropriation of $300,000 last year, and we have taken full advantage of that. At any time, I would welcome you to visit our schools. We have a number of, whether it be laptops, CPUs, and I'm losing the word that's coming to me right now, but it's basically a tablet that our students are using for online testing now.
Yeah.
All the way down to our pre-K classroom. So again, if there's any discussion or questions, I'll be glad to address them. But my board has directed me to continue to put that in our budget request.
And like I said, I've discussed it before. You know what I said.
Yes,
it's not the fact that I'm against it. I'm all in favor of technology for schools. But
yes.
Just think it should be handled differently.
Yes, sir. Yes, yeah. I know that you think there should be a wedge in our general budget. We're working towards that with the Board of Supervisors, and I'm very appreciative of that. Thank you, sir.
What about the infrastructure supporting the technology?
And we've been going on with the infrastructure. 3 years ago, I believe it was, we were fortunate. CIP to get around $600,000. We've done remarkable work. We have a wonderful technology director, Josh Gifford. We put a number of things in place. Our next project, and you'll see it, is it on here, that technology fiber connection. That's a big project, and that will not only help out the schools, but the county. And I say the county as a whole, not only the citizens, but certainly the sheriff's department, fire department, because we build a branch off of that. Most of our infrastructure upgrades have been made, but as you probably well know, sir, just like actual physical hardware, that the infrastructure starts to get outdated after 3 to 5 years, too. So you're coming back in, you're constantly looking for new ways. I'm wondering why I'm not standing here and I have a chip in my head right now, but I may actually.
I know a lot of school systems are challenged with having enough outlets that support the technology and all that.
Yes, sir. And that is part of it. Again, we've been very fortunate with some of the upgrades at the middle school that we just did. We worked with Train along with some of the energy things, and we were very fortunate to drop a few other different outlets. We're now going to get away from projectors and going to more of a smart board. It's actually a digital TV, an interactive TV, flat panel, and we need infrastructure to support that. But for the most part, all you need is wireless internet, a pretty good server to support that, and a 110 plug. Will that continue to be a need? Absolutely. Instructional technology is always going to want to remain on the forefront for our children.
In that infrastructure replacement, in the school systems and other places in the county, I notice most of us nowadays, like if we have a check, we can deposit it from our phone or something like
yes,
that.
Sir.
Does the school system get in check from students and so forth that they can automatically do that? That's something that they're going to?
Yeah,
the reason I ask you that is I've paid my personal property and my real estate taxes lately, and it always takes at least a week to get taken care of, where I can call up other places and immediately I'm taken care of. So I just, wonder if that type of technology is something that would be part of this, or is already.
It actually is. We have something called from our cafeteria standpoint. That's where we take in the most, I'll say, student income, what my school does. So folks can literally pay online. There's an app that the parents can actually go in, and basically it takes a one-time picture. There's little billfold apps where you can take a credit card and kind of scan it in via a barcode. So we're taking advantage of that. But again, as we move forward in the 21st century, it's forever changing. I would be reluctant to move the actual students on anything.
Yeah, I was just asking for the offices.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The next item in the middle school, we're in at gymnasium floor, Apple 21. I will tell you we have, I'll say squirreled away a few $1,000s, and we're going to screen and recoat that floor and fix some of the old repairs. That's not in the shoebox. In the shoebox, we have a brand new floor. Thank you very much, and thank you to the Board of Supervisors for funding that project. That's actually in the annex, and it is used. The annex gym is used daily for physical education classes. Questions about that? School board office renovations. We've actually begun some of this through some other CIP money. We put a new roof on last summer. We're in the process right now of getting some bids for some new windows and possibly doors. Might be a little over the price budget. It also needs a lighting upgrade, desperately needs an HVAC upgrade, and some plumbing. I actually anticipate that 1.1, if we can continue to partially do it and piecemeal some of the, when I use the term piecemeal, I mean it with all respect as far as what we're trying to do. I mean, we have a wonderful roof right now. We have a great price on it. I anticipate that number to come down at 1.1. To what? I don't know. We haven't actually contacted a company like Ellie Lacey to come in and give us a whole-scale bid. Questions about school board renovations? Schools and painting. This is an ongoing project. After some discussion with Mr. Nichols and Mr. Dahl and Ms. Keller, our superintendent and the board, this is just an aesthetic type of thing that really needs done yearly. You have to maintain your schools. You have to continue to paint. That number, I don't anticipate it to be more than $50,000 in the next 5 years. Probably as low as maybe one of our smaller schools, K-12
Gary's broke at 25, maybe. And we aren't tapping into our PTOs, parent volunteers, anything to help us with painting. But this would be outside contracting coming in, maybe doing hallways and or classrooms. And that's a wedge we would like to see, an annual wedge, starting next year. Questions? The underground fuel tank replacement. We have underground fuel tanks in just about all of our schools. From a fuel oil standpoint, we have a diesel and a gasoline underground fuel tank at Carysbrook. We'd like the EPA and some other folks have asked us to move away from that and go to above ground. We've met with James River on several occasions to try to see if there's any grant money at the guidance of Ms. Eager last year. There's not a lot of grants out there to do this that we have been able to tap into. It will continue to explore that. That's something that has the potential of being a problem down the road. We'd like to see it to above ground.
That wasn't in last year's?
It was. It was. Yes, sir.
But it was for this particular year? Or would they didn't fund the money for this?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, it was in 19 last year as well.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't understand your question.
Okay, I was just trying to remember, because I'd go back and look at last year's pages, and I was remembering that we had some discussion about it last year.
Yes, we did, and the possibility of exploring some grants, and we will continue to do that and work with some different fuel authorities around the area. It's tapping into both either federal or state dollars are often difficult, but we'll continue to try to do that. Carysbrook Elementary roof replacement is just time in 21. It'll be right at 20 years. Puff Roofing did that, I think, right at 2000. We're experiencing some leaks, but not anything as catastrophic at this particular point, but we're going to have to replace that roof at some point. Questions? Elementary playground equipment is almost self-explanatory. Coming in, doing some excavating. We have some money from last year to carry over to that. We're doing some work. We'll be doing some work this spring. It's just bringing in new, safer equipment. Anything from ground fall, which is an upkeep. We're under certain guidelines and restrictions via our insurance and VSBA, which is the Virginia School Board Association, we have to live and work under. And then different agencies we work with have even more stringent details within their insurance. I'll use Head Start, for example. They're not allowed to use some of our equipment because it doesn't meet their specifications. Questions about playground? The middle school track and court resurfacing, it's just time. We do have a middle school track team. We have a lot of folks in the community that still use or try to use that area to walk on a daily basis. We'd like to get the tennis courts back up and running. Even if we don't make that area a tennis court facility, if you will, it would be an outside instructional space.
So
I can see us doing some maps. I can see us doing a lot of different things there.
Is it immediate need? Because I know it's a year out. It will hold up for another year.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will. And I say that in all honesty because we had Mr. Casco. Last year, we put about $3,000 or $4,000 and patched some of the holes, literally in the track. So I believe it'll hold up for another track season, but it's just a matter of needing some repairs. And I addressed 57 technology fiber connections a little earlier. And that will run Carysbrook down 15, branch over onto the central middle school facility, and down 53. There's some talk right now with Mr. Gifford. He's working with some other counties to possibly get a better deal. I heard as little as $50,000 a mile, and that sounds like a lot of money, but that covers trenching and install. That's not a lot of money when you think about that. When you're looking at $1.8 million, that'll more than cover that. So it may not be quite that high. We haven't locked that price yet.
Well, I know from work experience how much that used to cost per foot.
Exactly.
And that's a long time ago.
So. Yes. There are some other items that are, I put in the CIP every year, the school buses is one. Is it moved down? I just, sorry.
So I have a
transport vehicles. I see it now. So item 102, school bus fleet. That will, we're requesting enough to buy 5 to 6 buses. In 2 to 3 years out, we should be able to get back on the cycle. And I'm sorry I don't have that memorized, but I did calculate it out before I submitted the plan, where we can go to 4. The state recommends a 15-year cycle. We're still working on getting off a 20-year cycle for some of our school buses.
Some of that are a lease thing, because I noticed...
We have not went down the road as of at leases. We explored the Sunny Merriman.
Well, I saw Sunny Merriman listed on some of the information, because I've been involved in leasing stuff. Yeah, so.
Yes. The board did not want to go down that road. They didn't think down that road. They didn't think it would be as advantageous from a leasing standpoint. These would be outright purchases, and I'm very grateful for what has gone through in the last few years. But I want to reiterate, we are still on a 20-year-plus replacement cycle if we don't come back. Last year we bought 5, 6 buses per year to carry us out to 2019. We could get back to the 4-year cycle.
What does the state recommend?
15.
Okay, I thought at one time it was 14, so they went up to 15.
Yeah, 15 years. These numbers are actually hard numbers based on my recent discussions with Sunny Merriman. The good thing for us is we kind of get a relative green light and push them into the build cycle. If we're behind the eight ball on that and don't actually act until the CIP would get approved, if I put in an order, let's say even if it was first part of May, we won't get the buses until usually first part of November. They've been very good to work with. Questions about school buses? And also student transport vehicles. We're currently transporting many students out of the county, Stanton, Richmond, Charlottesville, Lafayette down off of 250, as well as daily transports back and forth from an in county. We have a number of vehicles, and we have a number of, I'll say, vehicles that are fastly approaching 20 years old and have students in them on a daily basis. Once again, trying to get in off. This should buy us $60,000 for under the state contract price, which would be maybe the Impala, the Focus, definitely a four-door passenger vehicle. The last few years, we've had a need to also buy some staff vehicles. We've been very fortunate to be able to buy 2 this past year to transport our staff. Currently, we have teachers that are going to Richmond, Williamsburg, Charlottesville for a conference. The newest vehicle we had prior to last year for that was a 2002. I drive a 2003 Avalon. It's a wonderful vehicle. But is it as reliable if you want to put 4 teachers in it and travel to Richmond? So what we end up doing is reimbursing them for mileage. Over the long run, it would be much more cost efficient if we can come up with a few vehicles. And again, we haven't done that. The goal would be to get to a 2 vehicle a year, and I think that's out maybe in 20. Again, I don't have the national number. Actually, 19, I go to 35, so yes. Well, 1920, which would be fiscal year 20. Questions?
I don't think there's anything else. Is there anything else? 98, 99.
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, capital reserve maintenance, we would request. Actually, we've used some of the capital reserve funds in the last few years to make some renovations to the school board office, to put in some floor covering. We do need floor covering replacement. We need to get on the cycle is really what we need to do from a school standpoint, but it wouldn't be a yearly cycle. The high school's in good shape. The middle school, for the most part, has some areas we weren't able to replace within the CIP budget from the renovations that we did over the last couple of years with the train. Central still has at least a wing that the carpet and tile needs replaced, and the carriage book is at that point as well. If we had some leftover funds, we could roll some of that money into Abrams and cut down on the renovations that would be needed. Questions about floor covering or the maintenance fund? No. Thank you all very much for your time. I appreciate allowing me to go first tonight, too. Thank you. Thank you.
Just really quick, one thing I just wanted to add to the
Oh, absolutely.
It was under Carriesbrook Elementary roof placement. It was for $1.6 million. That's why I want you to know that's also HVAC. I'm not sure if you mentioned that.
I did not. Because I was wondering, I was like, why did I touch it on there? Yes, and I'll be back. Thank you very much. So Carriesbrook, we're looking at renovating, not only doing roof replacement, which is 20 years old now for Buff Roofing, but along with that, doing an HVAC replacement. So that would be partial. Did they roll it into the actual audit? Because the main issue for that is going to be, right now, is humidity. Not only climate control, but it's mainly humidity. I just don't know how much of the partial payback is rolled into the training.
No, it was mostly lighting. It was a lot of lighting for the contract. It is a part of the controls. And
yes. And a lot of the energy tie-in, the audit tie-in, is we have two now. We have the middle school with its new system and the high school that can be controlled basically online from anywhere. You get a lot of bang for your buck when you can control a system, and when it's vacant, cut it down. Our kids leave 4 o'clock. Everybody's usually out of the building other than the custodial staff. And again, I'm not trying to put them in a situation where they're in an unhealthy situation either. So at 6 o'clock, unless we have a ball game, basically from 6 to 6, we can begin to cut our system back, whether it be cut the AC down or cut the heat down, and save a great deal of money. We can control that. We can get warning signals online, but only in 2 schools right now. Part of this money for Carriesbrook would go into a new control system and basically a central plant. Right now, every one of those rooms in Carriesbrook, certainly on the backside, is controlled by an individual unit, just like you have in your house. We want to go with a more central system, much more economical. I'm sorry. Thank you. Questions? Again, thank you all for your time. Thank you.
Good evening. Thank you for inviting me here. I'm John Ryan. I'm with the President of the Fire Rescue Association. So we're going to, I guess, discuss the fire rescue request. So, do I take the order then?
Probably start 39, I think it is.
Yeah. So that's the CPR assist devices. Those were on the request last year and did not get funded. So we put them on again for this year. Those are mechanical devices that do CPR, so that when you have a two-person crew, you have a driver and you have a medic. The medic is then freed up for doing patient care while the mechanical device does CPR. With our declining volunteers in the county and the contract staff being two-person crews because of that's the way they are, if you do extensive CPR, it gets very labor-intensive very quickly, and so this is a way to help with that issue. At this point, we're just requesting them for Lake Monticello Rescue. The operating medical director for Fulana County does not like the CPR assist devices, so we're not requesting that for the county ambulances. So we'd like to start them at the lake first and see how it goes, and then see if their medical director changes their mind after they're successful. So, as I said, this was in the request last year. It did not get funded, so we are requesting it again this year. Questions on that?
Is there a biggest issue with the CPR assist devices?
You'd have to ask her. I'm not sure. I don't understand her reasoning, so. They are changing operating directly. They may be changing operating medical directors, so that may change as well. But right now, the current medical director doesn't like them. I'll stop it. I won't say what I'm going to say. Probably better not to.
Yeah, there's been a thought about spacing it out to different years instead of all five at once.
We could do that, yeah. We could roll them into, say, first and second duty ambulances first. So that would be an option as well. Yes, sir. The next one is the incident data tablets. Again, I believe this was in the request last year. This is to allow call information and GPS address finding to be displayed in the ambulances and fire trucks as they're going down. That cuts down some of the radio traffic, asking for directions and cross streets and stuff, and it just speeds up response. So that's the idea there. We're starting to roll it out in some of the trucks already. This is to be put to rescue the vehicles with the tablets.
These will be handheld, or are they going to be mounted?
They would be mounted in the consoles, yes, sir.
And are they going to also help with the EMS rolling?
Not directly, no. Those are the tough books. So that's actually a personal computer. These would really be for response information and directions of GPS.
Do the MDTs mount in the vehicle, the tough books?
Yes and no. Some trucks, they are mounted with the docking station. Some of them are just sitting in the console. Because we often take them into the patient's house with us. So a lot of the ambulances are starting to put docking stations, but not all of them yet.
And does the mobile data terminals have the ability to do what the tablet does?
There are software applications that could do that, conceivably, yes. Then you're sort of trying to, you got to switch windows and it becomes inconvenient. A lot of times the EMT or the ASC is entering information in the tough book as they're going, which means the driver can't look at the GPS information for directions. So while they could, it becomes inconvenient.
Will it interact with CAD?
We're hoping so, yeah. We're actually working with the Director of Communications right now. That capability is supposed to be there. It is not currently working. We're trying to figure out why, and I have not found an answer yet.
Good evening.
So we're trying to get it to do that, but I don't, it's not working right now. Other questions? Okay, next one is, so in the past, the LATE apparatus has been in operational rather than capital improvements. And last year I was asked why that was, and it's historical, and it's because the apparatus is titled in Lake Monticello's name because they're a private corporation. On the recommendation of Mr. Nichols, we actually put together it as a capital request this time, because I think it makes more sense to have it here. It's still a capital request rather than an operational request, even though it's titled in a separate.
No.
Okay. Was that a fair explanation?
I guess.
Okay.
Honestly, I just don't recall. I just know we talked about it. But in any case, you can look at that one, but it may just come out and go right back to the operational budget. But we have to kind of talk about the pros and cons of the determination.
And so fire apparatus are on a 20-year replacement schedule. And ambulances are on an 8-year replacement schedule. And so you can see that out for the next couple of years, which apparatus. And I've got a master list that I've been working with the finance office on, so they know what's coming up for the next 20 years. But you can see that as they come out. So we have several apparatus coming up over the next couple of years. There's some engines, brush truck and attack truck. I think they're all listed out there. If there's any questions on those.
Okay. Well, I was wondering one thing. The original sheets we had some additional items that don't no longer seem to be on here, and I was just wondering the personal protective equipment that was originally on that.
So the PPE replacement was a 3-year project, and this current fiscal year we're in is the third year of that. So that's why it's no longer coming up for the future.
Okay.
That actually, this year we were finishing with that project. Now, 10 years from now, we'll be back to that because it's got a 10-year life cycle. But this current fiscal year was the third year of the three-year project.
Actually, that was my fault because I was looking over 2017. So.
Okay. There's no questions on the apparatus replacement there. The next one is the self-contained breathing apparatus, the SCBAs. That's a year or so out. I believe it's in fiscal year 19. And you may notice in the past it was split up into three purchases. And I've updated the price. I got some new quotes, because I was working with old numbers last year, because I was new to this last year. So I got some updated numbers, and as you can see, as you not be surprised, the price has gone up. But in addition, the fire chiefs asked me to combine it into one purchase because they want to make sure that all the firefighters are using exactly the same gear so that it's standardized, and they were concerned that if it was spread out over 3 years, there might be model changes in between. I've been talking to Mr. Nichols about, because it's a big number, about ways to doing it, maybe splitting it into 2 years and making the purchase June of 1 year and July of the next year, so they're in two fiscal years, but basically the same thing. But right now it's set in, I believe, fiscal year 19 is a single purchase, and that's why it's set up that way, if you remember the way it was differently.
Is there a plan to apply for a FEMA grant?
We're going to look into FEMA grants, and there's some aid to firefighters grants as well. It's still a little early to look for those, but that is on our agenda to do this, sir. Because it is a big amount of money, and I believe it was 10 or 12 years ago we were able to get a grant for some of that, so we're hoping we can do so again.
Is there any plan for a training, because they in the cost? Everything's changed with all the heads-up displays. And
yes, so that was part of the quote, was to get training on anything that was different. Yes, sir. Anything else? Okay, so the next one is a thermal imaging replacement. This is the second year of a two-year project. The first year was funded last year. We're asking for the second year of funding this year to finish equipping the rest of the fire trucks with the thermal imaging cameras. These are the cameras that can take in so you can look through smoke, look for people that are down, firefighters that are down, look for hot spots in the walls. If you have an electric outlet that's starting to get hot and smoking, you can figure out which one it is. That's what these are used for. So this is the second year of that. Questions on that?
We're lucky to have him with us because he knows a little bit about this type of stuff since he works with it every day. So.
Yeah. No, that's great. It's good to have somebody who knows how important this is. Okay, no further questions. The last one is the vehicle apparatus, and this is the ones for county fire and county rescue, which have always been in the capital improvements requests because they are titled in the county's name. And again, it's the same thing with fire apparatus on a 20-year cycle. And ambulances on an 8-year cycle. Now, one of the things I will change is not this year, but in subsequent years, some of this request will be changing a little bit because the county rescue is going down from 4 ambulances to 3 ambulances, and they're in the process of purchasing 2 of those right now. So the timing will be changing in the future. So it's not going to affect this next year's request, but down the road that actually will change. And so that cycle will change a bit. So just let you know to expect that to change. Any questions on that? I know there's an engine in a year or two being backed up. And then they continue the ambulance replacements. Okay. Well, thank you. Thanks
thank
for your
you.
Attention.
Information anybody might want to make any close works.
2021?
Basically, the sheriff and I and others have been discussing the space needs of the sheriff's department. I don't know how many people know this, but the sheriff's office, as it was constructed 10 or 12 years ago, actually wasn't really built with any kind of expansion capabilities in mind. It was pretty much full from the day it was built. He made good use of his space. But we figured out a way to put an addition on the back of the building that would not only provide him extra office space, but also potentially reconfigure the jail area and make it more secure and provide a more secure office for the magistrates who had to come in, and puts them closer to the actual jails to be downstairs and accessible only from the back of the building by a secure fenced area. How much we need to discuss it tonight, because it's a few years out, but sooner or later we're going to need to discuss both the space needs of public safety, and then we go down to the skip, if you will, a little bit down to 29. This is back in here after a long hiatus of 7 or 8 or 10 years, however long. This is actually the concept of moving the administration, Cotter County administration, down to Pleasant Grove, which was the original master plan for the county's growth as a government. This couples with public safety, because one possible option would also be to build another new public safety building, convert the existing public safety building into perhaps the school administration building, and build a larger addition off to the side of it to house the county administration. This is something that Robin's going to have to talk about and look into, and of course he'll probably hire a consultant to look into doing some conceptual plans for us and help us decide on the best decision. And that's why the money for these is out into the future. But the idea that a fair amount of our administration is housed in old or aging buildings is something that as a county I think we need to plan for. We need to look into the Treasurer's Building. The first part of that was built in 1934. It was added on to in 1954 and then on again in 1972. The Admin Building were 74. Anyway, the Admin Building was built in 72. The building that Public Works is housed in, it was built, I don't know when, but sometime after the fire, which was a long time ago. We even still have some people housed in one of the small buildings that's next to the historic courthouse, which are dated back to the late 1800s. So we need to consider as we move forward what the best use of the county's money is. Is it to continue to put money into renovations and try to bring old buildings, some of which would be very expensive to bring up to code? You know, ADA is a big issue with some of the older buildings. HVAC systems, which are not efficient and can't be made efficient given existing specs. And so these are, I guess, for the most part, we put in there more as placeholders than as serious funding requests right now. But it's just to get everybody's mind focused on the idea that somewhere down the line we need to discuss whether we're going to keep taking care of old buildings or whether we're going to build some kind of a newer, more modern, more efficient facility at the house.
Been any real serious discussions with the Board of Supervisors about this?
Yeah, just in their infancy right now, I would think.
Okay. But I think it's been only for like the last couple of years prior to this.
It's been prominently ignored for a couple of years. But we keep putting it on there. Sooner or later we're going to have to discuss it.
Because I think last year I suggested we need to talk about it. If we don't spend all this money in these older buildings and we're really thinking about doing something, you know,
that's a good thing for the Planning Commission to advocate to the Board if you've got an opinion on it.
And it has been peripherally discussed in work sessions and things, and more informally before. It has not been a formal presentation of any kind of recommendation, but as I said, I started digging in. Bob, I've been here 4 years and a few months, and it in various files that I've been looking into in my office that I took a while to find, I found past master planning that actually has, you know, conceptual sketches of where things would be. Now, you wouldn't be able to do them anymore because both the library and the sheriff's office are actually shifted from where they're shown in all these conceptual plans, but there's still the whole idea of building that Collins Boulevard, out there, little two, four-lane thing with the traffic circles out there, was that that would eventually be the municipal center for the county. I wasn't here the first time it got sidetracked and pushed off the agenda, if you will, the CIP type plans, but so I don't know the whys or wherefores, but I personally think it is still a valid discussion to have. I agree with you.
I just think that that should be a valid discussion to take all of these projects, individual projects, like the repairs of the bridge, repairs here and there, and show what that's going to cost in relationship to building a new building and what may be cost with these other buildings down the road. That's just my
agree.
I don't think that we, as a planning commission, should be advocating something like that.
Well,
but I think the fact that somebody needs to present to the Board of Supervisors the alternatives.
Well, I would agree with you that you perhaps shouldn't be advocating a particular path, but it certainly might not hurt to advocate studying it, because it is part of the county's planning process. And we probably have the expertise on staff to take care of studying this. What I don't think we have is the time for the people that have that expertise. So ultimately, what we're probably going to come before you with, and it'll probably be next year's CIP process, is a plan, is some kind of a proposal to hire a consultant to discuss our overall facilities assessment needs and do exactly what you're talking about. We're trying to assess when we dump $1 million into the Treasury building. Is that money well spent? Or would that $1 million be better spent putting it towards another building? Because $1 million into that old building, what you've got is a fixed up old building.
I think that's why I expressed last year. I also realized that the Treasury building, there are some, what I would consider, safety problems there.
And those, if you remember, there's some money was put in the current CIP, which we are spending
$250,000
to do those critical improvements. The other improvements, brings you up to that total of $1 million. I mean, if you're going to stay in the old buildings even for a few more years, there's some work that must be done. It simply must be done. But the question we begin to ask, are we going to do wholesale renovations of older buildings, getting down to things like window replacements, tearing apart attics to actually put in modern HVAC systems? Those are a lot more expensive than simple building renovations like we did over in the admin building, where we did some in-place replacements of HVAC. We got rid of old asbestos tile, put in new floor tiles, new carpeting, better walls and wall coverings, replace some doors and things like that. Those things you kind of need to do every few years anyway, but the core interior, taking care of the structure itself is, and some of those buildings are getting to the point where we need to take that consideration. I do agree.
Well, Mr. Stevens had put together last year a spreadsheet that listed all of our buildings and what previous maintenance costs, and then things we put in the last 5 or 6 years, what the current projected costs are and operating costs for those, to be able to compare it over time. So we'll get you, all of you, a copy of that as well. That was presented to the board last year, and we'll keep updating that, because you have to have that to be able to compare it to before you begin its own. We need to kind of do the basic things, but he's got that sheet already.
Now, with one question now, I see that said combined administrative service school administration building, would that be include the school board or not?
Yes. Yeah. But.
Because I see there's a lot of money to be spent on that school board building.
And that's a good point too, right? That is exactly the building that concept is replacing. And I think
that's one of the reasons why the board approved just a small amount last year for the school board administration building, to do some of the things that had to be done, some of those life safety things and stuff. But the rest of it is kind of floating and hanging, because there's still a big decision to make. Either plow forward with maintaining our buildings, or do a plan to do moderate maintenance, the things we have to do, but start setting money aside to build a new facility. We would then sell off the things on Main Street, and then potentially all the things that are in the commons here that are sheriff or legal related, we move into the administration building, so they'd be next to the courts.
My thinking is the fact that probably should even be discussing that, because I don't think it's our duty, but we need to figure out whether this $11 million could be spread out over enough years that would make it more sense to do that.
Well,
then,
well, that's exactly, I agree with you. See, if we
but see, that's,
get a plan together, then the potential exists to pull that $11 million forward and drop some of the building renovations plans. I sincerely doubt that it's going to be a true wash right up front. But if you
develop
a plan and follow it, and if that plan is to build a new building, then if you are disciplined then in disposing of the older buildings, which, I mean, I've lived in rural counties most of my life, and I know that can be an issue because people have emotional attachments to some of those buildings. They don't want to see the old, what's it, Palmyra School, which is where the torn down or sold to somebody. That's where they went to school and their kids went. That kind of mindset we need to address, take into account those people's concerns, but you also do need to move forward. And if the decision is taken that you want to continue to maintain these older buildings, these historic buildings, and some of them truly are historic, others are just old buildings.
I just wanted to
so yeah. Then if that's the path we used to take, then that $11 million would come out of the CIP and additional funds would end up eventually in the building renovation. I'm only mentioning that because it's just sort of a discussion point to have over the next year or two as we move down the road trying to decide how we're going to wend our way into the future as the county grows.
You know, my thinking is this. When I'm trying to rank these things and I'm seeing this out here and I'm trying to say, well, is this really a one? If we're going to replace this, or are we throwing money out the window? That's anyway.
Well,
I don't think
that
we really.
That in the facilities and public works, we do our best not to throw money out the window.
Well, I don't mean it.
That doesn't mean we're not, because if you renovate a building and the very next year somebody takes the decision that you're going to build a new building, well, it could be argued that you threw the money out the window, but if you are then going to sell that building, you at least get some of the value of the renovation you've done back out of it. I mean, it's definitely not going to be a wash, and that's why it's important probably over the next year or so to talk about this, get some decisions, and choose a path. But
my
sergeant public safety building, and the man over there who is your sheriff, he doesn't complain too much about it, because I think he is more, right now, I think he's more concerned with serving the county by having the right and numbers and the right pay for his personnel, but he is running out of space. He does not have adequate storage space for the files that he's required to keep by the state, because he's got some stuff there that you just have to keep forever. It's a state requirement, and they're getting crowded. Now, we're doing a little minor renovation for them, kind of finding the money in the budget, as you will, for the most part. It's going to make two or three more offices for them and some space for the patrol deputies to have a place to sit down and work at a computer where they can't be observed by the prisoners, which isn't the case right now. If they're working on a computer right now, some guy could be looking out the window in his cell, right, at what the guy is doing on a computer. So we're taking care of those issues. But at some point in the future, he's just going to run out of space. And so
would we be advantageous, and I'm sort of asking this, Nichols also this question, to move, say, these over to 2020 in 2021 instead of 21 and 22, if we're thinking that the space situation is getting critical?
For the sheriff's office?
Well, he's talking about for the sheriff's office, I think, and the in other words, shift each of those, the sheriff,
there's one
and the combined admin building, you're talking about pulling each one of them forward 1 year, basically, to maybe try to turn up the heat.
We were discussing the sheriff's stuff at the time. I was thinking moving that $220,000 over to 2020 and that $475,000 over to 2021, just to move them forward a little bit.
I think I had it spread over 2 years, 2020, 2021, or 21 and 22.
21, 22.
Yeah, and you're requesting that perhaps you think about shifting it into
2020 and 2021.
Well, we can make any recommendation you want. The planning commission should do that. I don't think it's necessarily needed that early. That's why I was.
Okay. Well, that was the question was.
We just don't have a sheriff here to tell you the need.
I was just thinking the critics, whether it was critical or not.
And I think a lot of it depends on how the county develops, because as you know, there's sort of formulas they use for how many deputies you have based on county population and development or pickup, and population increases more, and you need to add more deputies, then that would definitely push it further.
Yeah.
You have a little bit about this? Certainly welcome your input, sir.
After 18 years of seeing the county go from the basement of the old treasurer's office to where we are now, and we've gone from back when we moved in that building around 2003, 2004, we had quite a few less deputies. We have actually outgrown the facility. We don't have enough workspace for everybody to give up. When we talk about space for records, our records room is packed. It is over capacity, and we are basically almost having to rent space to place their records. I mean, we have to keep paper records because it's a lot of Virginia requires us to, and we're required to do it. So we have no other place to put records. The room we have run out, there's just no more room. And if we increase more officers, we're increasing their workload and workspaces are not there for that to focus work at.
Just a thought.
So we have run out of space. I mean, literally, we're robbing Peter to pay Paul at the sheriff's office when it comes to space. You move here, you move there, you're shifting anything you can around. You're taking stuff away from others to try to create some room for somebody else to have it. And there's just no room. We really have gone from enough workspaces for what we had back 7-8 years ago. Now we've run out of room.
So. Thank you.
And Adam, what he said as far as this same is true of this courthouse when it was built. It was built what the county needed in 2001, 2002, and they're running short of space. So part of the plan is that if the county administration, if the municipal center thing were to become a reality out at Pleasant Grove, the entirety of the admin building would be turned over to the clerks of the court, attorneys, probably the Commonwealth's attorney could be moved down here and would allow them to expand out into that area and keep it in a centralized, central location.
Yes, but actually, years ago when we bought Pleasant Grove, one of the main reasons they bought Pleasant Grove was to build a courthouse building out there.
I have heard stories about the referendum failing and things, space was limited here. Maybe that's why they didn't make it a little bit bigger, but certainly a plan that would get the admin out of that building. And that building's still structurally sound. It looks pretty good right now. I'm doing a pretty good job on renovating it, but it's still got some issues that over time need to be addressed. And we're slowly trying to slog through some of them as we look at our maintenance repair and replacement plan. I think it would be perfectly adequate and suitable office space for expansion of field services. And it makes sense since it's right next door. So that's one argument towards potentially looking at a newer municipal building somewhere else. There's all kinds of arguments against it too, I'm sure, but
I will compliment you on getting some of the stuff done. But it's one thing I've got to do right now is I've got to end the work session and go to the regular session since it is 7:00.
Okay.
So we're going to pick this back up. But we've got to do a few.
Okay.
A few things that we have to do. So at this time, we are opening our regular meeting for October the 26th, 2016 of the Blue Line Planning Commission. I'm called a meeting to order at this time. The first order of business is the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We have a moment of silence. Thank you. First item is director's comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a few items to report. SUP 1610, the VFW tower was approved by the board supervisors 5-0. SUP 1609, the solar farm, was approved 4-1 by the board supervisors. ZMP 1605, Levana self-storage rezoning, was denied by the board supervisors 3-2. We have one board of zoning appeals action to report. BZA 1602, James O'Toms, was denied by the board of zoning appeals by a vote of 4-0. That's all I have to report this month.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay, the next item is the minutes from the September 28th, 2016 meeting. Do I have any discussion on that, or do I have a motion?
I make the motion to approve.
Okay, I have a motion from Mr. Johnson to approve the minutes. Do I have a second?
Yes, you have a second.
I have a second by Mr. Gaines. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. 4-0. For one absent. We have no public hearings tonight. We have no presentations. We're going to move on down to unfinished business, which will be the continuation of the work session, discussion of the capital improvement plan. So the next person.
Yeah, the second thing you see there is the treasurer's building upstairs, which may tie into what we were discussing earlier, but again, I don't think there's any money scheduled for FY18. I think we're going to be pushed it out to FY19 and 20, and one of the reasons for that was so that it would give some time for this discussion to come to provision and perhaps for some plans to be made regarding the county's the future of the house or the county municipal administration. Budgets more or less stayed the same, and it would be a total of around $1 million. That may get tweaked a little bit at cost estimates and scopes of work become a little bit more defined, but I still think we'll be very close to that. The only thing on here that really isn't directly related on the capital side related to the decision relating to the administration buildings and things is a public water system for the Pleasant Grove property. We still don't have a well out there at the western end of the park that has drinkable water. The well is contaminated for some time. It was actually probably contaminated before even renovated the house. I don't think anybody really knew that it was, but it's not drinkable. It's still turned on. People can still get water out of the faucets to water their horses and dogs and whatnot while they're out there, but you're not supposed to drink it. So we tried drilling one well. It was a dry hole. And so for the FY18 budget, a majority of that, or the phase zero part of the project, as I call it, would be construct a previously drilled, which isn't previously drilled yet, although I expect to be drilled the next week. I have money to drill the well and test it, but we're going to need money to construct a well pumping facility as tied into the existing water system, such as it is that exists down there. It consists mostly of 1/2 inch, 3/4 inch, and 1 inch plastic piping that runs wherever the heck somebody decided to run it when they wanted to put water somewhere else on the park. The line goes from the house to the community garden. The line goes down the road towards the pole barn. Got added on to a couple years ago. I do know where that is because we did that while I was here. That's more yard items out there. The fact is, until we have a good source of drinkable water, it's not going to be a truly usable water system by anybody that's visiting Pleasant Grove or using the whole
order
of the house or the field.
So, I'm curious why the department ranked it as a 2.
could have like a 1/2. I think the FY18 funding that I'm asked for, I would put at a 1. The 19, 20, and 21 right now would be a 2, because there are still some unanswered questions regarding how quickly Pleasant Grove is going to be allowed to develop as a park, and then, well, also, I guess it indirectly ties to how many buildings we're going to build out there. As part of sort of a mini master planning of overall water issues in the county, I did recently model the Fort Union water system, and in so doing, just put a little fanciful 12-inch water line running up 15 all the way to Paul Meyer. And from a hydraulic grade line standpoint, the storage tanks in Fort Union can provide plenty of pressure and flow to both Paul Meyer and the Pleasant Grove Park. So were we decide to go with a more regional approach for water, the lines that I show in this plan would still be needed, but they would primarily be fed from the other end instead of having to develop groundwater resources on Pleasant Grove. We do need at least one well out there, though, and that would be the FY18 funding. So that's an excellent question, Mr. Johnson, because to answer your question, I think the FY18 I would rate as a 1, and the rest of it as a 2 right now. I guess that covers the. Does anybody have any questions? I've raised some stuff that can't be answered right now.
I think the questions I had earlier sort of combines all of it.
It's a big decision. All of it, when you push on one side, it bulges out the other, and we got to try to get something wrapped around that and decide where we're going to go on this.
Thank you.
Okay, were you covering just the CIP parts, or were you covering them on the maintenance repair replacement too? Because I came prepared to discuss those items as well.
Well, we're not asking the planning commission to rank the repair replacement.
Oh, okay. So
it is there for your information.
Oh, yeah. We study these things very carefully. Everything that is on there for a reason. Some of it a little more important than others. I'm trying to think if there's anything big that I just wanted to raise for you because it hasn't ever been planned before. Asphalt repair and resurfacing. We finally got around to having our laser-like focus on issues get down to some of the asphalt that the county has. We have a fair amount of gravel parking lots in the county, but right out here we've got a big asphalt parking lot, and there's a lot of asphalt at Perrysbrook and also some at the Fort Union Community Center and some at, I don't think we're up
lost.
In any event, some of it's starting to get to where it needs to be resurfaced or at least sealed. And we'll be doing a little more detailed study on it because it's something that came up a little bit late in the CIP process. But I think we've got good cost estimates there. That's something that has never been in there before. But it will probably be something that stays because asphalt repair and replacement is a sort of a rotating thing. And the more facilities you end up with, the more asphalt you have, almost becomes like vehicle replacement. By the time you get finished doing all of it, you got to go back and do Perrysbrook again, so you just do it as a cycle. It's probably something we should have been doing the whole time I've been here, but a lot of stuff that we should have been doing the whole time I've been here, I'm sure. Another one that came up recently and is expensive is the exterior renovation of the historic courthouse. I am sad to say that whatever was done to it the last time that it was stitch up was not done very well. I'm not going to mention any contractors' names, but I can assure you I won't be asking them back to do any more work on it. Additionally, we discovered some new historical information with some help from UVA and then also the caretakers out at Remo Plantation regarding General Cox's ideas for its column design and things. And the surface coating on the columns at the historic courthouse is probably not historically correct. In fact, it's better than average possibility that it is not the way those columns were originally surfaced. I don't know if you've been out to Lake to actually Monticello in a while, but if you see some of the older pictures of Monticello, I think the columns are white. They're not white anymore. They're more of a sand color. because the exterior surface on them was a was some kind of slurry of sand and something that I don't even know exactly what it is, although some historic preservation architects from can't remember the name of the firm. Now they visited Remo with me and an assistant public works director and met the caretaker. The columns on the Remo mansion down there. Well, the guy that's there now said he's been there almost 45 years and they've never had to do anything to the surface of the columns other than wash them. And whatever it is, it's almost as if it's a two or three part epoxy coating on it with a sandy finish. It's amazing. I don't know, and I'm interested to learn what it is, but the folks from UVA that we've talked to and everything, we've been trying to do a historical research, come up with an historically accurate way to do an exterior renovation of that building. And so we've kind of budgeted at about $175,000 for everything. That would include doing the historically accurate surfacing of the columns and pilasters, I believe they're called, and then also scraping, cleaning all the trim, rebuilding, and or restoring, and or in one, at least one case, remanufacturing the shutters, and then trying to get some historically correct colors and paint on it. That's not been in there before, although if you drive by this historic courthouse, I think you agree that it needs some work. I'm going to be pushing really hard on the vehicle replacement this coming year because in FY15, my budget was taken to zero. We did not do any vehicles, and this past year it was cut in half, so we're able to do about half of the vehicle replacement plan. And one thing about a vehicle replacement plan, as Mr. Walker also pointed out when he was here, if you stop doing it, you fall behind. Average age of vehicles is targeted to be 10 years and it's 20 right now. You need to replace 5 vehicles a year to get 10 within a certain number of years, and you're only replacing 2 a year, you're never going to get there. So, anyway, I'm prepared to answer questions about any of those, but the majority of them are basically just infrastructure maintenance related items.
So, the only question I have, and it's not really direct, that make it look more than anything else. We have approximately $400,000 budget that's in the supervisor's budget allocated to MRR, and $2.4 million budget for MRR, the requirements of which would seem about, you know, evenly divided between one, two, three, and I wouldn't count forest because they're out there, but, you know, one, two, three, so theoretically, from the perspective of the planning commission and the perspective of four supervisors, is the allocated amount that's going into the plan down the road plan sufficient or not sufficient in a forward planning path?
The problem with the capital reserve maintenance fund, there is not a formal codified policy, but there is a policy that the board agreed to that talks about the creation of the capital reserve maintenance fund for both the county and the schools. The difficulty in there is that it really intended, the original intention was, to use those dollars for unexpected replacements. So the HVAC dies in this building before replacement cycle, and it's not under warranty, and you don't have insurance coverage for it. But that's what that book dollar was intended for. Or if you have steps down here, we have a lot of problems with steps, and the steps all of a sudden broke down badly and we had to do repairs, and that's what the capital reserve fund is for. It would be great if the capital reserve fund were a little bit larger, and then all these kind of maintenance projects just got embedded through the board when we're sending in the capital reserve maintenance fund requests just to do the ongoing things besides just the emergency payment. But it wasn't set up originally that way 4 years ago and hasn't been used that way. The county hasn't used it that way. It was really intended to be for those unexpected, non-budgeted emergency items rather than the sequence of ongoing good maintenance that needs to happen all the time. So the board can change that policy at any time. It's just that's what it was set up. And we can bring it up in budget season if the board wants to revisit that and then maybe change how those funds are built. A lot of these things, frankly, should not be on this list. they should be in his department budget, and they should just be part of, you know, vetting his budget each year. But the structural problem right now is that the current guidelines for the CIP are anything $20,000 or up. That $20,000, in my view, is a crazy number for 2016. It probably should be $50,000 or more, or even more. But I can understand why the board would want to know if we're spending $45,000 on something, or maybe we should make sure we really want to spend that money rather than just because staff says, you know, that building needs to be repaired. So that's why I stayed at 20. I've advocated for it to be raised, and we can certainly advocate for the maintenance fund. That's the reason it is the way it is now.
So I guess my question to the planning commission would be, when you're looking at the list of did anything stand out in terms of this would be something that you would think that should be part of the planning commission's sort of oversight, or most of these items seem to fall into?
So it bothers me if
what you really call maintenance.
I think maintenance should not even be. Although the reason, and we were involved in this capital reserve maintenance fund for both things. Originally, it was set up, like Mr. Nichols said, as for emergency, but a certain amount would be put in every year, but any leftover amounts were supposed to be moved over to the following, so that that fund would build in case there was a big emergency.
Well, it does carry forward, Mr. Bill. The money's carried forward every year. The board, the county, I think, carried forward about $50,000 last year.
Yeah.
The schools right now have about $360,000 in their fund because they've carried some money forward because they didn't have needs. But we've been anytime something gets identified as a life safety or emergency thing, we've been using that fund for that. We were just talking, it would be great from a staff management point of view if that were, say, $500,000 fund and the public works director would just prepare a capital reserve maintenance fund with less for these things based on the priority of the need and submit them periodically throughout the year as we get time to do them.
And I think we've discussed over the years that $20,000 was not realistic in today's.
Not in our view.
Now, a little bit of this is probably my fault because 2013, the first budget I was involved in, is the first year that we split this stuff out and separated it into CIP versus MRR. Prior to that, all of this stuff would have been the CIP budget. There is no relationship, or is it supposed intended to be any relationship between these projects and the capital reserve maintenance fund?
Yeah.
Right. These are projects that are planned. We know we need to do them, and so we can budget for them. Capital reserve maintenance fund was intended, and how I use it as a public works director, my request for things that come up during the year that are unexpected, as Mr. Jennings explained it, the HVAC system in the treasurer's office just completely craps out, and totally unexpected because it's only 12 years old. It's 35 years old, but it's only 12 years old. You have no idea that it's going to go, and it does, and you just got to do a $30,000 repair on it. This stuff is things that we come to our notice, and they're more than $20,000. Now, also, since 2013, when I started doing the public works budget, the building facilities and maintenance line item in that budget, it's in the detailed budget that I do in my office, is not just a line item. I break it out and make projects less than $20,000, and I make a list of them, and I do the same prioritizing. And then I get the finance director and the county administrator and kind of decide what building facilities and maintenance budget we're going to recommend to the board that year, and so we do a cutoff on the priorities and technically fund everything above the line, so to speak. So, Steve has an excellent point, Mr. Nichols. If we raise the limit to say $50,000, then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of those, 8 of them actually would just disappear off that list of that and would show up in my budget. Money's still going to be budgeted, asked for and budgeted. It'll just be that the facilities maintenance budget would grow by the same amount that this would shrink.
Right. So I think kind of from a protocol procedural standpoint, one would look at, you know, a recommendation from the planning commission to say it should be a higher amount than $20,000. B,
the MRR should not be considered a line item in the budget that is fungible, if you would.
I agree with that.
And see, let me just finish my thoughts here. That when the planning commission is reviewing the sites that are above 50,000, you know, they're really reviewing them from the perspective of saying, are these MRR items, or could they be included in, you know, the long-term planning for capital improvements? And then the last thing I would suggest is the planning commission look at it from the perspective of making recommendations before, to say, you know, you are currently allocating, I'm going to put it out, I think, roughly $400,000 out of the $2.4 million that's been allocated from that. Is your MRR number, to your point, Mr. Bidwell, trying to make sure that it's building up and creating that reserve? Because in some years you'll have lesser expenses, in other years you might have higher expenses. Is that a sufficient number, percentage-wise, in terms of the overall goals that you're trying to achieve? Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And one of the reasons that the MRR even came about, and as I said, it's my fault, the world that I come from in budgeting, it's very important to separate capital money from operating money, because in the water and sewer industry, particularly when you're working with authorities, you are required to separate the two, and the two funding sources are different. Capital funds are derived from people who are paying to connect to your system, new, and they're paying for the new expanded facility that they're becoming a part of. Operating funds must be generated from the user rates. So I've always defined a capital project as something that represents either a major improvement to the facility or an expansion of it. Or new, because it's like building a new municipal building is clearly a capital project. A paint job on an existing building, no matter how expensive it is not a capital improvement. It's a maintenance item. And so I'm accustomed to having, we call it MRI, but a separate CIB budget and an R&R budget. And they're separated out, they're kept separate, and you budgeted R&R, and you call replacement and renewal. You know, the new pump stations lasted 20 years on the average. So we had a 5-year R&R, but I actually had a 25-year R&R because I knew which pump stations I was going to cycle in every 5 years. That's what I am trying to do here with our building. It's a little more nebulous with that because
so I guess
the utility systems are a little bit easier to pick when things are going to go wrong. They really are, unless you get a lightning strike or something like that. It's, you know.
So do we think, Mr. Nichols, as long as you're standing, do we think that
just a lot of you sit down like this.
That's all right.
That's all right. Do we think that the current MRR reserve that's being requested to the Board of Supervisors is sufficient in terms of meeting kind of the ongoing obligations that are presented in this budget, in kind of what is this grade that you said between CIP and regular emissions?
No, but this isn't the county administrator's budget proposal to the board yet either. And so it's being vetted here.
And I guess I would just phrase that from the standpoint, not necessarily the budget, but as a percentage of these ongoing things, should we be looking at 20%? I mean, should the planning commission be already making, I would think the planning commission would make recommendations more or less in terms of your MRR should be somewhere around this based on
2% of the value of the construction value of all the buildings you have.
Okay, so yeah. Where does that number
as a general rule of thumb? And that to your point, is drastically below that. Yeah. I mean, so far below that that it isn't even worth discussing. It might be a 0.5% of the total value of our building. Okay. We are way underfunding this stuff right now.
Yeah, normally for the number of buildings we have and the age of them and the ongoing maintenance needs and stuff, you should have $2-3 million set aside just to do ongoing maintenance and ongoing things. That's a big bite. But you can see if you just add that list up there, not counting the vehicles down below, or not even counting the school stuff, there's almost $2 million worth of requests there just for MRR, or about $1.8 million when you take the 200,000 capital requests out. But that's just what we've got on the list this year. And that doesn't count the 15, 18, 19, $10,000 maintenance projects that are in his budget already, that are built in the budget. So it would take a pretty substantive change by the Board of Supervisors on the need to control stuff and a kind of a different perspective on it to be able to move that into operating budgets. But I would gladly have them move to operating budgets and still come forward with a justification sheet like the capital to remain sponsor press with the announcement of visibility on it, because the board's been very good about approving those things because they make sense. So
yeah, that's kind of my larger point, is I think the Planning Commission can play an important role in presenting those concepts to the board, and what it is, and what sort of, you know, it separates that idea between what it is, a capital improvement, which has been pointed out as a larger project, versus a maintenance item, which unfortunately, you know, the realities are that the easiest thing to push down the road is maintenance from the perspective of...
Well, I think we ought to go with the least 75,000.
And I mean, I think those are the kinds of recommendations that would be really welcome to the board if the Planning Commission is to make those kinds of things and say, you know, look, it's been presented that these are items that are not merely CIP items. They are ongoing maintenance items. They're not part of your budget. They're coming to us as CIP items. We don't think that's appropriate. But we do think it's appropriate to look at and say that whether the number is 2%, 1.5%, this should be a number that the board is targeting, and anything under $75,000 or something like that, I think the commission would have to review from that standpoint. Because, yeah, it's a correct and natural tendency for people to look at expenses, but by the same token, as we all know, we're, you know, bigger the budget, the bigger the number. So, you know, it seems like a big number, and it doesn't really get a big number.
This is why we tried to break this out the last 3 years, because these were all rolled together in one CIP, and every line item was there.
Yeah.
Frankly, a bunch of stuff were left off that should have been on there, but in this case, that's why it's even on the back of the page. It's a separate page, right, and not totally the same. Because we do think this is a separate issue that ought to be towards operational side and not towards the state mandated requirement for the Planning Commission to review capital projects and make recommendations in relation to the conference.
So down at the bottom where you've got the vehicles, that's almost $1 million back. Okay, you've got $200,000 and $200,000, $400,000. So that's $1.4 million. So you're really only talking about $1 million in this actual repair stuff.
In the MRs, I think that's correct, yes, sir.
So, you know, but I think that they need to really consider how they work with repairs, because if something needs to be 50 right now, that we will wait till next year to put it in the CIP, then it's a higher cost up. And I don't think that actually we're supposed to be looking at it from a planning perspective, but as a citizen planner, I kind of have to look at it from a citizen's point of view.
And I understand that, and I agree with you, and that is one reason why I think, you know, after discussion, that Stephen and Eric both understood what we were trying to do as far as separating out those items that were clearly capital items that are part of your planning structure, which are definitely under the purview of the Planning Commission, versus just ongoing things. No matter how expensive it is, it's something that needs to be done. And you can put it off, but I can tell you can only put it off so long. And
there's a bunch of stuff on the front page, though, too, that's under $75K. So that would have to slide. But then you also have to make the structural decisions about, okay, if one of those items is a new pole barn at Pleasant Grove, well, that's a brand new thing. It's a brand new pole barn. It wasn't one there before. Okay. So does the board want to see that a different way? Well, still, those can be vetted through the capital remains fund.
Well,
or they still vet those.
I would also perhaps even still view it as a capital. I don't know. My mind's probably not right on this because almost nobody ever agrees with me about it. I don't view a capital project based on how much it costs.
Right.
I view it by what it is. Is it a brand new facility or is it a major expansion of an existing facility to give you a new
functionality or
certain area to use or a new function?
So in other words, what
it
should be.
If it does that, then it's clearly a capital project, even if it only costs $2,000.
Anything new should be part of capital improvement.
Well, yes,
I think what else are we having a discussion?
I was exaggerating when I said 2,000. You have to be reasonable about the cost, because, a new fence at the dog park that only costs $1,500,
that's just...
But the point that I'm making, though, is that you need to look more at the function necessarily than the cost within reason.
And we've been pushing this discussion for 3 years. It advances a little bit more every year, and sooner or later we'll get the board to.
That's my major point, is that the Planning Commission can play a significant role in its recommendations to the board to view these things as not a slush fund, but an actual. This is the reality of what it costs the further and further you push it down the road. Not only do you defer the expense, but you increase the expense because the reality is that the damage tends to become more significant.
And could we have you, Mr. Nichols, draw up a worded type of thing, of suggestion, that we could look at to see whether we would be on board with that particular recommendation?
We wrote it to
I'm just thinking of the fact that we're talking about how many years have we used that $20,000 figure?
Long before I got here.
And
nobody is. And about $20,000 paycheck. I'm sorry, that's just that's something you kind of got to trust staff with of using the money judiciously. When we review the accounts payable, we do reports, do more all the time. But it's a sea change, so we'll dust off that draft policy in hand, get it to Mr. Stewart, and Stewart can provide some planning commission, so you'll have some idea.
We can incorporate that into the amendment before supervisors.
Director, I'll agree with that.
And you can also put in there, if you're tired of working extra hours, have to review a second page on the CFP project. and it's costing too much overtime from planning commissioners.
But with all that said, I will tell you that I'm ready to answer questions of anybody, planning commission members, citizens, whatever, at any time about any of our projects that we're funding.
Well,
call my office. I'll sit down with anybody and explain why we need to do certain things and what we're doing. Nobody's trying to hide anything or get away with anything. I kind of enjoy coming in here and discussing some of these things, but it does seem kind of wasteful to talk about $21,000.
Again, I will compliment
the county buildings when you're going to have to hire a painting contractor to paint all the trim and do repairs on 5 buildings.
Again, I will compliment you on the fact of trying to get things repaired before they get a major project. In the past, a lot of times, we've let them go to a major project.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's our goal. Certainly can't take all the credit because my assistant public works director is one of the best facilities guys I think I've ever met. You can squeeze an awful lot out of a dollar preparing.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Okay, so the first thing on the CFP request is the electronic message board.
Can I ask you a question on it real quick?
Okay. Got it.
Is that going to go into the brick frame that's already there with the electrical already coming up?
It was pre-wired for whenever it's approved to go up, so that's where it's going to go.
And it would be the same type of sign that we have at the high school?
Probably so.
Some people thought was illegal, but after I really looked it up, it's not illegal.
No, it would be a little better, but.
Yeah.
Double-sided.
Because we have a time thing, it has to be followed.
It'll be longer and a little bit shorter pipe-wise, and it will be a color, a full color, that would be.
We plan to, just pull a figure out, plan to rent it at $5 a day. So if an event's going on like Alley Fun Day, and they want to advertise on there rather than putting signs up all over, it's $5 a day, $150 a month, that much. So it would just be to remember back to what you threw in the pot.
And it would be able to change the events.
Yes, absolutely.
You could have several events going, and if we change from inside the house. It's, you know, it's our star place in the county for tourism attractions. You know, to get to the rivers and the parks and things, so that's always been part of the plan, but just hasn't quite gotten approved yet.
Okay.
Next one. Okay, the next one is athletic field lighting at Pleasant Grove Park. Currently, there's no lighting at Pleasant Grove Park. This would be for the multi-purpose fields there in the county. There's no lit multi-purpose fields except for school property. So that's where that would be. So basically where the soccer fields are at Pleasant Grove Park. Any questions on that one?
Just the soccer fields, that doesn't include the baseball?
Not at this time. This one doesn't.
Okay. And the one in the...
So is that one, 2019?
Both of them. 2018 and 2019, is this the soccer field?
Yes.
Okay.
The next one is a picnic shelter to replace the pole barn that was destroyed in the storm, I think it was like 4 or 5 years ago. It was adjacent to the one that's currently out there. So it'd be to put a new one up with the idea of putting a men and women's bathroom in the back to have working facilities out near the back of the property where there are no current restrooms, it's only porta-johns, and that facility could use, both pole barns could use that bathroom facility back there where the stage area is. The next one is the playground expansion. So this is an idea of getting a playground that's ADA accessible in the county. I believe there's only one piece of equipment that is ADA accessible at the Central Elementary School in the county. So it'd be an expansion to the playground that's at Pleasant Grove Park currently, but detailed basically for ADA accessible individuals.
Okay, so that expansion is just simply just for ADA, nothing?
Mostly, yeah, it'll be, well, I mean, it's both ADA and non-ADA kids can use it, but it'll be so we have something for ADA kids in the county to use.
So it's accessible?
Yes.
That's the main thing, is to try to make it accessible for all kids?
Yes, for all kids, but yes. But we currently don't have anything in the county that I'm aware of. The next one is athletic scoreboards. So it'd be four of them, two baseball and two softball. Currently, we have one field that has scoreboards. It's the baseball field at Carey's Brook. It has a lot of problems every year. They need some electric work. So the idea is to put scoreboards to each field, and then with the possibility of being able to hold tournaments moving forward for more revenue to come into the county. Any questions on that one? The next one is athletic fields at Pleasant Grove. So it's in the plan to add another baseball and softball field at Pleasant Grove Park, adjacent to the two that are out there. The third question on that one. The next one is a multi-purpose shelter. And the idea is that could serve the community, serve the farmers market as a place to go under. It would be another place that citizens could rent in the county to hold birthday parties and such. The next was the Crofton Trail Park development. That's in there. The county owns a piece of piece of land up on Route 600. It has lock stones on it, some historical sites, and it's just a plan to maybe put a walking trail in there. Next would be a multi-generational center, which is basically a recreation center for the county. Parks and Recreation is pretty spread out right now with our facilities. We have to use other facilities in the county other than our own to hold some programs that we have to do. So this would be a way to get everybody into one general location.
Is that something that we really think that we're going to ever put in a year that we're actually working? Because I think in all the years I've been on the planning commission, this thing has been moved out to the furthest point every single year.
This is my first time doing this, so.
This was a question.
I mean, I think it's an import in the county. But with the amount, I think the reason it got pushed out is because of the amount of money it's going to take to build something like this.
Well, I understand that. I've just.
You are the multi-generational.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to continue to push it out to the farthest year. Although it's part of the master plan for Pleasantville Park, the master plan has been largely ignored by the board over the last few years, and not necessarily funded in any kind of sequence. So I'm just kept pushing it out. I'll continue to do that until the board directs that they want to move that stuff forward.
Wasn't that one time that the Jefferson Area Board for the Aging was going to work with the county on?
They were going to work for programming, but not necessarily for funding.
I've seen them help fund some similar things in at least one other county, I know.
Well, I don't think they fund, I may be wrong with you, but I don't think they fund the capital costs. They fund program development, program management. They did the similar one in Louisa, and of course they do ones here too, but the one that the multi-generational center in Louisa was funded through. But then there's another one that's like that in Scottsville. That was funded by Piedmont Housing Alliance.
Okay, because I knew that was the one I was thinking of, that I knew that there was some funding that was done.
Absolutely. And Java was a partner with that, and if Piedmont Housing Alliance actually goes forward with converting Columbia and Cunningham into independent living facilities, you know, we've been working on this for a year or so, Java will partner with them on it, but they don't do the capital costs. They do most of the programming.
Okay, I just saw something about the funding was,
Next is the basketball and tennis courts at Pleasantville Park. Currently, there are no basketball and tennis courts out there, and the master plan for the park calls for some outdoor recreation facilities out there, basketball and tennis courts.
Do we have any basketball and tennis courts now?
There's a basketball court behind Carysburg Gym. There's one at the community center.
I'm talking about a Pleasant Grove.
No, not a Pleasant Grove.
Because we've discussed that a lot also.
Okay. The next would be an outdoor swimming pool and pool house building. The master plan for it, the budget in the CIP. And then the last thing I have is the spray ground park at Pleasant Grove Park.
That would be done at the same time, probably.
I would say I would probably do the spray park first and then do the pool after that. It's less maintenance and less operating costs, probably, for a spray park.
Would this combination be something similar, like they got at Bee Park in Charlottesville?
Something like that, yeah, similar. I mean, and like the pool should be an indoor-outdoor pool, like, so you could use it all year round. Not just during the summer.
What's the cost on the spray ground?
$150,000.
Are there any more questions? Got any more questions?
Thank you
for your time.
Thank you.
Staff would like to address any other questions, but I think that's all on the, as far as presenters here for those tonight.
Okay. The technology upgrade.
Mr. Bibb.
911, is that?
Here's also serious.
Electronic upgrades.
You did most of the courthouse one. The courthouse one, but there's a tail on it, and that's the $20,000 there. And then the technology upgrade is pretty small.
Y'all didn't put that out of that money y'all gave the other thing.
Well, the security upgrades and electronic upgrades are four.
Mr. O'Brien thinks both of those were funded at the last board meeting.
No, this one wasn't. That was, Mr. O'Brien, that was a facility issue.
Oh, okay.
These are, we're probably going to have to argue about this a little bit, because I've been arguing with the sheriff's office that that was not a CIP. It should have just been a regular operating budget, because it's really just computer upgrades.
But it is.
It is, and that's kind of their threshold, but it still needs to go back to their operating budget, so.
So there was an approved upgrade.
The 22K was.
Surveillance, not this is a right manual.
What's that about?
It's a little different.
So what, is it a CIP item or is it a budget item, Mr. Nichols?
Well, right now, everything's $20,000 more than CIP item.
Okay.
It's not a CIP item. But I run the board, so right now it's a CIP item.
Okay.
Please go right ahead. Which one do I start with?
Because I know in the prior year on that, we already did $185,628 on the courthouse security electronic upgrade. Is this just the fact that they couldn't finish it?
The upgrades for the courthouse is because we are transporting personnel, prisoners back and forth from the sheriff's office to here to the sheriff's office. And we're basically putting officers at risk every time we take them out of a cell and transport them in a car from A to B. Part of that electronics security is actually fingerprinting equipment here that can be utilized instead of having to transport to the sheriff's office to do this fingerprinting. Which means we put them in cuffs, take them in a car, anything can happen between here and a mile away. It's not like it's, and traffic on 15 is getting a whole lot worse. So, just by putting them in a car, taking them from here to there, we put liability on ourselves. Every time we put them in a car, just to transport a mile in and back, any accident we're responsible for. Anytime they want to try to break free or somebody try to help them, we're putting ourselves at risk. So the fingerprinting side of it is for them to be here, never have to leave. The jail picks them up and takes them back to the jail. We're not responsible for anything other than getting a fingerprint and keep them safe at the courthouse.
So you can do that all stuff here that jail people take them straight to the jail.
Yes,
you don't have to do.
We don't have to worry.
You don't have to do double duty. Is that what you're saying?
The other side of security, the security side of it for the courthouse is when the system was upgraded, it wasn't placed in there completely for all the wiring that is used to be upgraded at the same time. The contract was basically written for to use existing wire where feasible and not replace it. Well, the problem with that is whenever the power goes out, granted the generator kicks in, hopefully it kicks in, and then once it kicks in, but we lose camera systems that are attached to the
older wire.
Because they require special power supply. These power supplies, if they cut out or stop working, then we are down four cameras per power supply. So if the power supply stops working, we lose those four cameras until we get replaced, which could take anywhere from a day or two to a week or two. So then you lose complete visibility of those camera systems and usage. The new system that they're looking at, if it's funded, will take the existing wires, put a module on it for the camera, and it will be
actually attached into our current new system, so the power supply is actually all using, we're using the existing coax, we take out the power supplies, and this new module box that we placed in their rack system would actually power, transfer the information through it, and we won't lose any, we won't have any interruption in the system anymore.
Okay.
So that's the whole idea behind that security system.
Okay.
Would you be able to monitor the cameras from the sheriff's department?
That is a separate functionality. That requires, we've come to terms that that requires more of a dedicated line. We're talking 43 cameras in this building, and you just can't put that over the internet and have it. Have you ever seen the little thing when you actually start watching the TV and it says streaming and starts spinning?
Yep.
You try to pull 43 cameras from here through our system, straight to the sheriff's office, while adding high-speed fiber optic. You might get one camera to see something, but you're going to get that pixelation where you see a frame of the guy standing here, and then about 5-6 seconds later, he's already out of screen. He won't have any picture. So that's an upgrade to the outside. The system's already capable of doing it. The sheriff's office has already got the monitoring system that can view. It's just getting the information from here to the sheriff's office to see it. That's a whole separate, and they're in the process of working on that now. That's not part of this.
Nobody here about the E911 upgrades or?
That's the computers.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what we're arguing about, whether it's operational or not.
Okay. Because I see it's another one of those things where you've got the exact same amount every year, so which is actually in violation of the CIP.
The biggest thing here was our consulting group that we use expressed that we did not purchase all the equipment needed because there wasn't enough money to purchase all the equipment, but our consulting crew has actually said we need to replace 25 to 33% of that equipment and then purchase the remaining equipment that's needed. So if you don't progressively replace the equipment that's already outdated, then you're basically falling behind again and they just go down and break.
What's the life cycle management? About 3 years, 5 years?
3 years is pretty much the year that is about the life cycle of the computer now. I mean, most of them are actually running 24/7, and it's like a tablet like I'm hearing. You put it in a car, it's hot outside, it sits in there, you go in, they don't want to leave the car running, it's more life on the car. So if you do the tablet in the car, it's hot, you're totally depleting the life cycle of the tablet or the computer in the car.
Sure, and I understand there's difference between tablets and desktops and so on, so it is your consulting group giving your advice on that application, or just in 3 years plus?
They're basically saying that 20%. It's not so much 3 years across the board, it's like 25% of the year. So basically, you're still looking at some of the infrastructure required on this. So it's not just actually the actual tablet of your infrastructure required to run on the back of your head mock rate for the system.
We've got a straight line of tablet and PC going today.
Certainly suggesting the spirit of moving things that are below $75,000.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Is that all of the items?
I believe it's all the items.
Anything that county administration would like to share with us about this, or are we ready to adjourn?
Cubs run, let's go.
They started early tonight at 7 o'clock.
One down the middle of the lane.
I thought we were watching.
Anything else?
Just a reminder, our next commission meeting will be, the holiday schedule will be Monday, November 14th.
Monday, November 14th.
At that time, we will also bring projects in preparation for our public hearing on CIPs.
Okay.
One thing, Mr. Chair, in terms of the commission, I've made myself a note. We may want to work with Jason and to try to set up in February, once I present the budget to the board, I'll have already had your recommendations appropriated, but the kind of this generic discussion about dollar level, items on there, I think some good dialogue back and forth with the board of supervisors in a joint work session on the budget would be helpful. If we want to kind of get over the hump and make decisions about that, so then we can hear directly from you on some of those things. So maybe in February timeframe, we'll be starting those work sessions. And if you're amenable to that, I'll have Jason propose it to you. You can see if that works out.
Okay.
One item for Chris that you mentioned there. You mentioned using fiber, but the reality is now that you have the sheriff's tower in place, there's no reason wireless and transmit the video streams. These days you can get almost one gig of transfer in the distance that you're talking about, you know, there, and it costs maybe several thousand dollars. So that would be something that is really neat. We need to know what we present from that same device hours. Sufficiently high in the industry.
Well, that's something they need to look into. It's nothing that's on.
No, I'm just saying, I'm just mentioning that.
It's now 7:59. We're going to adjourn the meeting unless there's no any objections. Meeting is adjourned. Mr. Stewart.